I'm so excited. Our children's director, Margie McGreevy, she's going to come and speak to us. And then Xavier Thompson is going to come after Margie and talk to us as well. And what I want you to notice about these messages is that they really both go together. I know they didn't plan it in that sense, but God used both of them to speak a very clear, precise word to us today that I think you'll enjoy. So let's welcome Margie as she comes.
Thank you. Thank you. Pastor Blaine didn't mention, but the island does not have running water. So he was telling us this week he had a big barrel and a big cooking pot, and he would get some water in the pot and wash his hair with a cooking pot. So he's old Johnny Appleseed over there. That's a pretty amazing place to go. So thank you for sharing about that. All right, church family, I'm so glad to be here today. It is graduation weekend, and we want to celebrate with you. We have, at least I have, a tendency at times like this to want to panic. Like, oh, what last words of wisdom can I throw on you? Like, oh, my time is running out. And the Lord told me, don't do that. Your church has been pouring into these lives for years. You've spoken wisdom over these kids and these families. You've shared love and prayers. Your hands have done work alongside them. And so today it's just a continuation of what God has already been doing in you for years. I know one of the things that we hear a lot this time of year, you know, what are your future plans? What are you doing next? What's it been like, and where are you headed? And sometimes that can be a tough question to answer. And sometimes it's okay to just say, I'm praying about that. I'm asking the Lord. I have these ideas, but I also am asking God. And so one of the things that I've done as an educator for years is ask kiddos, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? Kind of along those same lines, those same questioning. And it is funny to share some of their responses with you, yet you would hear very community helper-driven answers, like, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a policeman, and I love that. That means that we've instilled a love for helpers in those kiddos. I'd also hear things like, I want to be Spider-Man. And I think, good goal. That's a good goal. I've had little girls tell me, I want to be a mom. That just tells me that those kids have been loved on, that those kids see that as something to attain, a goal. One little guy one year, he told me he was going to be a professional deer hunter. I said, go for it. We need those. We need those. So they can stop hitting them with my car. One of my favorites over the years, I'm going to be the boss of the ice cream shop. I was like, okay, yeah. It's like, I'll be your taste tester. And then, of course, some that just really touch your heart, one little girl told me, I'm going to be beautiful. So I guess my message for you today is, maybe your answer to that question is, I'm going to be whatever God wants me to be. Like, that is in the hands of the Lord. And we have to open up our hands to receive it from him. So preparing for today, I asked the Lord, like any person who comes up here to share with you, I asked the Lord, what do you want them to hear? What do you want me to share? And very distinctly, I heard, remind them who they are. Remind them who they are. And then we get here, and our worship songs include things like, You Know My Future. That's a great graduation song. You Made Me For More, Lord. The first line of the song, I know who I am because of who you are. So right there is the connection. Right there is the connection. So today, I want to remind you who you are as a believer in Christ, who God made you to be. If you go to Google, you'll find lots of ideas if you answer this question, who am I? And that's a little scary. Sometimes you'll get some very worldly answers. So I do ask you, if you're really digging into this, like you're coming across a time in life and maybe things seem shaky or wonky or just a little crazy, maybe it's time to stop and just pray and ask the Lord, Lord, who am I? Who did you make me to be? And instead of Google, maybe you want to turn to the Word, because it will tell you. And so today I have several Bible references for you, but you also can do this on your own. When you come to those times and you're not sure, or things are just feeling a little weird, like, you know, you're headed into some different situations, maybe this is a time for you to ask the Lord, okay, Lord, who am I here? What is my goal here? How, Lord, what is your plan? What does this look like for me? So let's look first. I just chose five. There are so many that we could choose, but today I felt like it was important to remind you who you are, that number one, you are clay. You are created by God in a loving manner. Isaiah 64:8 says, "Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." And I love word pictures. I love pictures in my mind when I hear a word. So when I hear clay, I see Play-Doh. I'm elementary. I can't help it. I see Play-Doh, and it reminds me to stay soft, to say bendable or teachable or pliable. It reminds me to keep my heart soft, to not let my heart get hardened. And soft does not mean weak. There's a difference. It's very much the opposite of being stiff-necked. So as you're reading the Bible and you see those words, they were a very stiff-necked people. I want to just remind you today, that's not our goal. We want to stay soft like clay. A second attribute is that you are chosen or wanted. Ephesians 1:4, even before he made the world. Okay, catch that. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So this attribute, it came to me over and over as I study for this week. And I just had the strong impression that this is a word for somebody. Someone this weekend needs to hear, you are wanted. Before God did anything, he chose you. You are wanted by him. Remember that. A third attribute, in Christ you are anointed. You are filled. John 14:26. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you. So we're not just blindly sending you out into the world, because when you receive the power of the Holy Spirit, he can do miraculous things through you. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. And it's not just a one-time event, but an ongoing daily surrender of one's life to God's direction. We refer to the Holy Spirit as a teacher, an advocate, a helper. And just know that wherever you go, whether it be a classroom, another city, your own home, a new job, the Holy Spirit lives in you and he goes with you. So you have a teacher, you have an advocate, you have a helper. He's there with you. A fourth attribute, you are sealed, you are protected. This was important to me that you know this. This gave me such reassurance when I learned this. Ephesians 1:13-14, it says, in him you also were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed. So as you go out, it's important to remember you are protected. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You have authority. You have power over the enemy. And as you spread the gospel, as you live your life for him, he will try to oppress you. He will shoot fiery arrows in many different instances towards you. But even though the enemy tries to oppress you, he cannot possess you because you are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And I pray that that's a reassurance to you. Number five, we are blessed. We are beloved by God. Number 6:22-27 says, the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with a special blessing. Does this sound familiar? This is from last week. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Whenever Aaron and his sons bless the people of Israel in my name, I myself will bless them. So if you recall last week, Pastor Blaine talked about the last thing Jesus did as he ascended, and it was to bless the people. We are blessed by God himself. The Lord himself blesses us. And I just love that. I love that when the Lord can carry something that we've already been learning into what something new that we're talking about. Another way to show us of God's hand in this message. So now I want to take those five things and give you just a bit of a surprise if you're following along on the little sheet. You can take a picture, take a look at this identity in Christ. We are clay. We are chosen. We are anointed. We are sealed. We are blessed. And a really nice way to wrap all of that up is to go diagonally with the red letters. Because our biggest attribute, the thing that I hope that you will always carry with you, no matter your age, is that you are a child of the one true King. You are a child of God. And what a blessing that is. The verse, John, 1 John 3, chapter, verse 1, says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his child." That is what we are. So graduates and church family, I pray these words will remind you today not only who you are, but whose you are. And I pray that you'll always remember that the world needs who God made you to be. So may the Lord bless and keep you.
Thank you. Thank you, Margie. That was great. Good morning, church. Thank you. How are y'all doing this morning? Great. I like the whole call and response. But this morning, I'm going to talk to you all about rest and hope. And so you're probably asking yourself, what is this? What did Xavier bring up here? Also, if you don't know, I am the youth minister, youth pastor here at the church, Xavier Thompson. And so you're asking yourself, what is all this? I have some oil, and I have an egg yolk, a little bit of vinegar, and some salt, and tools. All right, so you're probably asking yourself, what is all this for? Surprise. And what is he going to intend to use this for? And you're the word uncertain is probably one of those words that's popping up in your head. I'm uncertain. I'm unsure about what all of these ingredients and tools are going to be used for. What's the purpose of all of this? And so hopefully, hopefully I get it right this time. I didn't do so quite well last service, but hopefully I get it right this time. But it's a visual representation for our future, our hope. And so about a week ago, I had a totally different message lined up for you all today, but the Lord told me to pivot and go a different direction. And so I was like, all right, let's go. And I'm going to give you guys a little peek into some of the trials and tribulations of my heart and my mind that I've been dealing with. And so a lot of you know what has been going on in the world and in our nation, and some of that you may or may not think about. But I tend to think about these things, such as the war with Iran, and the causes of that, with prices skyrocketing, because we all have food and children that we have to feed, and that gets tough. And then certain states are just moving the political goalposts and trying to silence certain people groups. And when I talk to the people in my friend circle, And if I get really into the details of it all, I can sometimes spiral and it weighs on me heavily and I can get a little depressed. And it's not right. And we are all just trying to live as common folk, but there are powers above us and people that have power that are trying to take it away or just keep people down and what have you. And so they're just making our lives difficult. And so I'm reminded of Elijah out of 1 Kings chapter 19. And what Elijah did, Elijah ends up permanently removing prophets of Baal, something like 450 prophets. And out of that, Jezebel wants to exact revenge. So in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 2, Jezebel sends a message to Elijah. And it said, Jezebel says, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make you or make your life like that of one of them. And one of them is being one of the prophets that Elijah killed. So that's a serious threat. And so rightfully so, knowing the history and the power of Jezebel, who is a very cunning woman and who knows how to get what she wants. And she's been doing it. And previously in the book, she's been killing other prophets. And so Elijah is fearful. And so what does he do? Well, when you're afraid, you run. Most people would. Fight or flight, right? So he ran. And Elijah had been running for a lot. Chapter 18, at the end of the chapter, verse 46, it says that the Lord, or Holy Spirit, pressed upon Elijah, and Elijah tucked in his cloak into his belt. And then he ran from where he was all the way to Jezreel. I don't know the exact distance. Pastor Blaine told me of something like 200 to 300 miles. Can you imagine running that far, not stopping? Because I can't. I can't run 3 miles, right? Like, I play basketball. I'm pretty fit, but like, that's supernatural, superhuman stuff. But only because God gave him the power to do so through the Holy Spirit. So once again, so he ran there, and he's running away from Jezebel. And so he makes a pit stop at a city, leaves his servant there, and he keeps running until he ends up in the desert, and he happens upon a tree, and he just stops. And so then when he gets there, he's just tired and confused. So he calls out, he prays to God, like, just take my life, Lord, like, I just wanted all this to end. I've done so much stuff in your name, and I'm not seeing anything good come out of this, so just take my life, right? So going back here to the table, you have a lot of things right here, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? What's the purpose of all this stuff? So these can be, think of them as like plans, right? You have plans to do things for your life, for people in your family. And so you don't really see how things are gonna go. But you want things to happen. And so with this egg yolk, I want something to happen, to come from it. And as I wish, I hope this isn't too annoying, because I might be doing this for a while. But I want something to happen. I want something to come from this process that I'm doing here on the stage. And so as I am whisking, I'm going to still tell this story. And we're just going to get into it. All right, so after Elijah goes to the desert, cries to the Lord, tells him to take his life, he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, the Lord sends an angel to him, and the angel tells him to wake up, eat, drink. So that's what Elijah does. He eats and drinks after he wakes up. Then he falls asleep again. And then an angel tells him again, wake up, eat, drink. He does it again. And this time the angel tells him, you're going to go on a long journey, and this is for your nourishment. So how many times or how often do you find yourself working, and don't take a break? Don't take a lunch break. I'm going to work through lunch because I got to get this done. We need rest. That's what God provided for Elijah at that moment. Rest. To re-energize his physical self, to re-energize his spiritual self. But how often do we do that? You see, in the Western world, specifically the United States, we're programmed. You got to work. Work. And the saying is, I'll sleep or, you know, stop when I'm dead, right? So it's all about the goal, whatever that may be. Most people, it's money, right? So God provides us rest. Only when we stop and hear him, we have to listen to him to get that. And so that was my egg yolk. Other ingredient, vinegar. And I used to be a chef. And so other people who make things at home could probably knows what I'm making right now. Maybe. But we're going to keep going. And so after Elijah ends up making his long travel, he ends up in a cave, and the Lord approaches him, starts talking to him, and says, hey, Elijah, what's up? What's going on? And so Elijah lets him know what's on his mind. And so in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 10, Elijah tells the Lord how he's feeling. He says, Lord, I've been zealous for you, Lord. I've been on fire for you, in case you didn't know that. The Israelites have rejected you. They tore down all your altars and put your prophets to death. I'm the only one left. And they're trying to kill me too. So, like, what's the end goal? I'm paraphrasing. What's the end goal here, Lord? I'm doing all this. I've defeated all these prophets in your name. And all these other miracles in your name for you, like, I don't see what you have for me, and I don't see what you have for our people. And some of us are like that right now. We don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Will I have money to pay the light bill? Well, will I be able to buy groceries this week for graduates? I believe Margie said it. One of the main questions you get is, what's the next step? What plans do you have after graduation? Some of you know, some of you don't know. And I was like the latter. I didn't have an idea what I wanted to do when I graduated. But I did something, and it came out all right, I guess. And so the Lord we serve, the God that we serve, is high and mighty. And he won't leave us high and dry. And so what does God do for Elijah? He gives him hope. Later on in the chapter, he reveals his plan. God reveals his plan to Elijah and tells him he's going to anoint three people, and one of those persons is Elisha, to take up or be his successor. And he also tells him not everybody, not all the Israelites, bowed to Baal. I reserve 7,000 Israelites to not take the knee. And that gives Elijah hope that God has a plan. And that's what we need, I feel, today, whether you're a graduate or just an adult trying to figure out what's the next step, assurance. And so our assurance comes from God. And so, yeah, it's working out a lot better than last sermon. And so a few verses I want to give to you all is, one comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. So what are we supposed to do when we don't know what to do? Well, you place your trust in the Lord. And out of that trust, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for you to plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. So we trust in the one who has all the plans for us, plans to not hurt us, but plans for us to succeed. Don't place your plan or your hope and trust in man, because I'm a fail. I failed last sermon. So we trust and place our hope and faith into the one that has all the plans and is never going to fail. And then last but not least, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we place our trust, or when we trust in the one who has the plans and won't fail, then hope will arise and abound out of us. And then all that hope in the negative space, in the negative life that we live in, that hope will pour out onto other people, and we spread that hope and give hope to other people as well. So then we become the light that we need to be in this world. And so to end this, Miss Margie, will you come up here and help me, please? There's a phrase, trust the process. Can you all say that, please? Awesome. Say it again.
Trust the process.
Thank you. All right, so the process here, I need Miss Margie to pour this oil ever so slowly. Okay. The process here is to make an emulsification. There's a whole lot of science behind this, and I would love to talk about it, but not at this time. But that's good. Emulsifying all of these ingredients and using the tools that I brought, the process is to make a really quick and not so loose aioli, which I'd say I succeeded. I did better than last sermon. So, but yeah. All right. So, thank you, Miss Margie. Thank you. I'm human. I trusted the process. It wasn't perfect. It didn't come out perfect. I've done this a lot of times. It usually comes out better, but that's neither here nor there. God is perfect. You trust his process, that aioli will come out to be the best thing ever. You can put on your burgers or whatever. The blessings out of that process could be whatever you want to add to it. So you pinch of salt, some herbs, some chipotle peppers, whatever. Those are blessings. They enhance the aioli. They'll enhance your life. So, in conclusion, when your life becomes a big question mark and filled with worries, place your hope or place your trust in God, because He is our living hope. Thank you.